Welcome, everybody, to episode one of what I believe is season five of the Free Money podcast. I was trying to remember, and we don't usually have parties for the Free Money podcast like we do for KSR anniversaries. So because of that, I don't totally remember if it's 5 years, but Drew, I'm going to say it's 5 years. You've been with me all five. It's been just a wonderful accomplishment that I think is probably towards the top of your career. Am I right?
It really is. And like you, I struggled. Is it season four? Is it season five? Is it season six? So I went to the podcast feed and counted, and I can confirm this is season five, episode one.
Nice. Well, that was a complete guess on my part because I didn't even do that. So I'm very excited that I got that right. It's going to be one of those good days, I think, for my picking of games. We're taping this on a Tuesday night. It's pouring rain outside. And if you've been listening to this over the years, you know that the rhyme or reason of when we do these and when they go out is non-existent. They kind of happen when they happen, usually because I'm difficult to get knocked down for a schedule, but they're always usually out by Saturday morning to give you at least an hour or so to listen before the game. So hopefully that will continue. We are joined for the second year in a row with Jay and Lyndon, who will read the games, et cetera. I think the big news for Jay and Lyndon, Drew, is that for the first time ever, he was invited to the KSR party. And so he has really moved up in the world, set with Tom Leach and Shannon the Dude. So set with celebrities. Jay, it's nice to have you back. Did you enjoy it?
I absolutely had a great time. I've surmised I'm the oldest intern at KSR, I'm fine with that. But I will tell you the funniest thing of that night is Shannon came up to the table late and said, "Oh, Jay and Lyndon." And Tom Leach was really impressed. I didn't tell him I didn't really tell him who I am. And he was really impressed by that, which was really cool.
Well, but what part was he impressed with that you
that I was Lynch? Jay? No, that I was Jay and Lyndon. Like he said, I listened to the show and I know you from your calls. So and I was
you sat there with Tom for like an hour before Shannon got there. You'd never told him you were Jay and Lyndon.
Well, you know, I wanted to be careful because I didn't want to like fanboy it too much. And the funniest thing is, my wife and Tom hit it off because she's like, "What hobbies do you have?" And they started talking about movies for a half an hour. And I thought that's probably a better route to let them talk about movies than me start asking him what's his favorite game. And
didn't he ask you why you were there? Like who you knew or what was going on?
Not really.
He may have thought, Drew, that Jay was one of my professional wrestlers because they were sitting over on that side too.
They were.
Yeah, with that crowd, he could have been anyone.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you back for another year. For those of you that have listened, we rarely are able to stay on task here in the Free Money podcast. I have not done a lot of gambling, Drew, since the last edition of this. I mean, I did, you know, during COVID, I did a ton of horse racing last year and then a lot of college football. And then I kind of stopped. And I've been so obsessive about watching the Reds. Gambling on baseball is impossible. So I'm kind of rusty. I don't know about you.
I think I might have bet on the NBA Finals one game. But other than that, I can't remember the last time I've placed a bet. And even last year, I was gambling on college football, but I didn't get into it as much as normal just with all the uncertainty. And, you know, when you're watching a random game on TV and there's no crowd and you're not even sure if they're going to play the next week, I just didn't get into it. My record wasn't as good. So I'm ready to be back to normal and start throwing money around more often on Saturdays.
Yeah, my success in college football gambling plays a lot to do with the crowd. I mean, I think you make money in college football by betting on home teams or, you know, even maybe betting on a road team sometimes, but really betting on home teams to pull upsets. And like that's the kind of thing I like to do. And so I'm with you. It just didn't seem the same. It does feel the same this year. I think tomorrow night UAB plays Jacksonville State, and I'm contemplating betting on it, which is a real sign of degenerate behavior, considering I'm not 100% sure if Jacksonville State is actually the one in Florida or the one in Georgia. So, I probably will bet on it, Drew, because why not?
Yeah, and I didn't get in on the week zero action. I caught some of the games, but didn't bet any. This just feels like the official start coming up these next few days leading up to Saturday. And I'm like you, I'm going to be betting everything.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually did bet. I won on Illinois. I thought that was the easiest bet in the world because Nebraska is horrible. And not just as a football program, as a state, and even as an idea. I mean, just like the entire notion of a Cornhusker is just awful. So I was not surprised they lost. I was surprised Illinois, however, was coached by Brett Bielema, a fact I did not know until the game started.
Yeah, Nebraska became the story of the day. I didn't bother betting. I expected to go to Railbird, where I wouldn't have any service or be able to watch football, so I didn't bother looking into it. But I took Saturday off.
And you decided not to starve and be famished and be carried out. Yeah. I'm just kidding, Railbird people. I always hesitate to criticize Railbird because I can't remember if the people I know run it or not. But if they do run it, they never invite me. So, you know.
Well, they did much better on Sunday when I did go. We missed you there.
Yeah. Well, all right. I went a couple years ago with Gincana, which also, as an institution, doesn't exist anymore. So we wish everybody the best. Now, a lot of you always say to me, Matt, I want to gamble. How do I gamble? And you don't know how. Well, that's why MyBookie is here. MyBookie.ag. Now, again, MyBookie.ag is the way to gamble. Now, you may say, is it legal? Nobody asked you, Drew. I mean, nobody asked. It's MyBookie.ag. That's what you want to do to get your gambling odds. College football odds. They have NFL locks. It's all there. And I want you to bet with MyBookie. It says that you should use my promo code. But then it doesn't, Drew, tell me what my promo code is. Oh, I'm sorry. My promo code is free money.
There you go.
So if you go to mybookie.ag, get my promo code. Your first ever deposit, they will match it dollar for dollar. Did you hear me? They're going to match it dollar for dollar. I'm sure there's a limit on that, Drew, but I don't see what it is. So I'm just going to say it's whatever they tell you. But I've used my bookie. I know you have as well. It works. You get your bets, you get your money, they'll pay you. It's a wonderful thing. So for all of you that ask me, I get asked probably 1,000 times over the course of a year, hey, Matt, where do you and Drew place your bets? The answer is we place them at mybookie.ag, promo code free money. If you put in $100, they'll give you $100 more. If you put in $300, they'll give you $300 more, unless that's more than the max, at which point I didn't say that. But no matter what, mybookie.ag, usually, Drew, $200 is the max. But this year, they may be wild. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they could be like the fans and missed full crowds last year and upped it. It will tell you when you get there. But I think if you hurry, you can still bet on like season win totals and stuff, too. They have a lot of options there.
I'm not patient enough for that.
I'm not either.
No, way in advance. Like, I need to know within – I sometimes need to know after I've hit the bet if I won. I don't like to wait. So, but mybookie.ag, promo code is free money. All right, so, Jay, we're going to include the Jay Linden restaurant, Louisville restaurant of the week. We're also going to add a new feature. And at some point during this show, you'll have a chance to win to be the guest picker on a show upcoming. But, Jay, what is going to be our first game?
Well, I do want to echo, I just got back from Virginia, dropped my daughter off at her first year at law school. And in Virginia, gambling is legal. And I want to echo what you said, that Illinois bet was the easiest thing on the board for sure. It got me off to a good start. I was hitting some over-under win totals for the year. But Matt, we're going to start with...
By the way, I'm going to law school, can I ask?
Yeah, you can. William & Mary.
Oh, good. I don't think I've ever been to William & Mary. That's one of the few college campuses in this part of the country I don't think I've been to. But, well, I wish her nothing but success.
Didn't we go to William & Mary?
I don't think so. Where is it? It's in Richmond.
I feel like we had lunch.
Williamsburg.
No, yes. You and I stopped in Colonial Williamsburg once, but not at William & Mary. We went and churned butter.
Yeah, okay. I just remembered a lot of William & Mary gear being worn around. So
yeah, we went to old-timey Williamsburg to learn about the founding of our country. We churned butter. We met Dolly Madison. If you remember, we did. We acted like we were 73. By the way, I insist, there are no two people in the state of Kentucky that have been to more college campuses than me and Drew.
Nope.
And we went on some stupid road trips to some stupid places. If it's... from the Big 12 country east, I've been almost everywhere, but William & Mary, I guess, isn't one of them. Anyway, all right, Jay, what's first?
First game is Phil Steele's four-star pick of the week.
Oh, I love it.
Which is West Virginia at Maryland. So Neil Brown returns 8 starters on offense this year. His D held teams to 20 points a game last year. If you remember, Maryland has Tua's brother. I'm sure he gets sick of being called Tua's brother.
Whose name, by the way, Freya. That was a good one, wasn't it?
That was pretty. But, you know, one thing when I read.
See, this is a podcast. People can't see. Drew is laughing. Freya is funny. I'm calling him Freya all year, for the record.
What's funny when I researched this is, like, you know what Maryland's record was last year, Matt?
You could tell me any number, and I have absolutely no clue.
2-3. So, West Virginia is a 3.5-point favorite.
That's really strange. I don't know what I thought you were going to say, but 2-3. Yeah. Over the years, one of my lessons is don't ever bet a Falcons football game. And the corollary to that is a Maryland college game. I feel like I always get everything wrong that they do. It feels like in the first week, they always, like, beat Alabama, only to the next week lose to Alabama A&M. So with that said, so I'm not betting this game in real life because I don't bet Maryland games because I always get them wrong. With that said, I do love West Virginia here. I think West Virginia is going to be good. I think Neil Brown's good. I don't know if Ralph Friedgen is still the coach at Maryland, but if he is, he is not going to be able to take down Neil Brown. Give me West Virginia, and I'll cover the 3.5.
I've been making money on Neil Brown going back to the Troy at LSU money line. Even at West Virginia, I've made money on Neil Brown, and he's gotten better, hadn't been there long, but with each year as he gets his offense and the players he wanted, I think they're going to have a big year, and I also love the Mountaineers here. I thought that spread was much lower than I expected.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. If he has a big year this year, I think he's going to have a shot at some big schools. I'm with you all. I mean, here we go right out of the gate. I like West Virginia here, and I might even bet this game.
And so that means all three of us and Phil.
Phil Steele has West Virginia by 11.
Yeah, we're 5 minutes into this, and I've already given a fail. By the way, I saw Phil on TV. Time is not doing him justice. His mustache gets weirder every single year that I see it. So we'll make this our first ever four-star quad pod. As it is, all four of us are taking West Virginia. This is the four-star quad pod in honor of Ralph Friedgen's 4 chins that he had when he was at Maryland. Is he alive, Drew?
I don't know. Can we do a quick fact check?
Do a fact check, because if he's not alive, I feel like that's a low joke, and I may get you to edit it out. Is he alive?
Oh, you're good.
Okay, good. Thank you, Ralph. I hope life is treating you well.
74 years young.
Shout out to Ralph Friedgen. Everybody take a shot in honor of Ralph Friedgen still being alive, but we're still all picking West Virginia to win.
The next game is Phil's. He has 2 3-star picks of the week. The first one, it's going to be at the Rose Bowl, LSU at UCLA. The spread currently is LSU minus 3.5.
This is my 5-star guarantee lock of the century. I will put my entire shoe collection, Drew's beard grooming oil, Jay and Lyndon's law school tuition money for his daughter. I'm putting it all on LSU. The chances of UCLA winning this game are -0. And 3.5, I wish it was 3, but you know what? I think LSU is going to win by 14. I know UCLA's already played. That's just a mirage to get people to sort of get off their sit. LSU by 900 points, Drew.
I'm going to take UCLA.
Oh, stop it. You're kidding me.
I was on the fence, but just to be different, since you're so excited, I think having that game helps. I mean, they scored, what, 40-something points on Hawaii. I know that's not an SEC defense, but they do have a game out of the way. UCLA is 5-1 against the SEC in their last six games. LSU was disappointing last year. I'm going with the Bruins.
Five of those six games were against Tennessee, though. There's no way that LSU is losing to UCLA. Come on, this is SEC Pac-12. If there's one rule of gambling, when the SEC plays the Pac-12, if it's not Tennessee, bet the SEC by a million.
I mean, LSU could win it, but if I can get it 3.5 or more, I'm taking UCLA.
You are drunk, and we are just starting. And I know you were drunk Friday night, but it is taking another level. Jay, what do you got?
You know, I think LSU is going to be a little out of sorts with the hurricane, but I just can't imagine they have a repeat. And I think it's so crucial to them that they get off to a good start this year. I'm going to go with LSU. And Phil has LSU by 13 points.
Yeah. See, look, that's a 10-point difference. I mean, Drew, you're going to look back and say, one of the dumbest decisions I ever made was picking UCLA. That is such a horrible pick.
Could be the case, but right now I'm going to roll the dice, and I think they cover.
When LSU covers, everybody send him hashtag eat it, Drew. And also maybe throw in a hashtag cheers to Ralph Regan. Who's next?
It's his other three-star game. Marshall at Navy. And Marshall is a 3-point favorite.
That's really the game, Marshall at Navy?
It's the game we've all been waiting for.
Okay. And what's the spread?
3. Marshall by 3.
I was about to say, you could tell me either team by 3, and I would have no idea. Listen, I got nothing on this one at all. I mean, Marshall at Navy. I don't know if Marshall's good. Don't know if Navy's good. Give me Navy to cover the 3.
As an honorary member of our Navy, having flown with them recently, put my little cap on, I'm going to ride with my Navy, and we're covering the 3.5.
That's the stupidest look. You look like a swimmer.
Well, this is
what is that? Oh, that's your Blue Angels cap. I thought it was like a Navy cap.
I'm going to side with the Navy.
I think Drew's on to something, because we have a video feed. The ratings would go through the roof with it, what he just did. You know, if you remember, Navy was in 2019 was 11-2. Navy was 11-2 in 2019. Last year, they were 3-7. You know, they always talk about an option team. You don't want to play them in the middle of the season. So Navy's had time to prep for, I mean, Marshall's had time to prep for Navy's option. I'm going to go with Marshall here.
I wish I had known they went 3-7 last year. I didn't realize that. Well, I'm still taking the Navy. What are you going to do? All right, what's next?
We're going to start on all the SEC games now. So this game is actually on Thursday night. Bowling Green at Matt's favorite team, Tennessee. Right now, Tennessee is a 34-point favorite.
Yeah, give me Bowling Green. I promise you, I thought you were going to say like 20. It was the spread, because I don't know how you make Tennessee a 34-point favorite over anybody. I mean, it was what, 2-3 years ago they lost to Georgia State or whatever in the first game? They're going to be awful. I mean, they're going to win this game, but 30, they're not even going to score 34. Forget about covering the 34. They're not even going to score it. So give me Bowling Green to cover.
Kind of feel the same way, but I looked up Bowling Green, and they're really bad. They went 0-5 last year and scored 12 points a game and gave up 50. But I still think that spread's way too high.
Wait a minute. Did you just say they went 0-5 and gave up 50?
Yeah, and scored 12 per game. I mean, they're really terrible.
Wow. I didn't realize they were that bad. Well,
yeah, but that number is still really high. I think, even though I think Tennessee is going to suck this year, I'll take them here. Just because Josh Heupel needs to make some noise to get anyone to care and believe in them again. So he'll probably still be throwing Hail Marys up 28 in the fourth quarter as they still try to figure out their quarterback situation too. So I'll take Tennessee, but I hate it. I feel like it's too high.
I like
Let the record show I have now bet on two straight teams. The combined record last year was 3-12, but go ahead.
Drew's studied up this year. I'm really impressed. Bowling Green has won 6 games in 3 years. On Field Steel's power ranking, Bowling Green ranks 130 out of 130. I think Heupel is pulling the playbook out here. I think Tennessee is going to be terrible this year, but I think Tennessee is going to do everything in their power to cover. I'm going to go with Tennessee here.
Man, see, I didn't know any of these facts. This is one of those examples where maybe I should have read something before it starts. What does Phil have?
He has, or I don't know what he has for that.
He has Kentucky. Terrible pick by Phil, considering they're not even in the game. Let's see here. I'll pull it up. I've got the.
Here it is. I got it.
All right. What is
he has Tennessee by 41.
All right. You know what? I'm flipping. You all, one of the things you learn of a person who is well grounded in logic is they are willing to listen to a compelling argument and change their opinion. You all, I did not know they were the 130th out of 130. So I'm going to flip and I'm going to take Tennessee as well. By the way, the lock of the year was that dude was going to get fired from Jeopardy. And it looks like he got fired as the executive producer as well, which I called the moment that story. You talk about a dude who really screwed his life up in a few weeks, Drew.
Yeah, I wish we could have gotten odds on that weeks ago when you called your shot. That would have been free money.
Well, it was obvious. They can't keep that guy on, and nobody cares about him because they don't know who he is. So that was a slam dunk. But go ahead, Jay.
So we're going to go ahead and go to Lexington, Kentucky. Louisiana Monroe at Kentucky Wildcats. Right now, Kentucky is a 29.5-point favorite. If we go back to Phil's power ranking, Matt, Louisiana Monroe is 128th of 130 teams. Nice. Kentucky goes this year from having the 9th hardest schedule to the 84th hardest schedule.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it is a lot different. I think Kentucky's going to cover. I don't love it, I have to tell you, because I do think they got to get used to the new offense, and it may take a little bit. I love that they're playing this team. This is the perfect team to play in the first game. But I would pick Kentucky, but I don't bet Kentucky games anyway, but I would probably not bet it, even if I didn't, because there's still a chance they come out and are a little rusty, but I would pick Kentucky.
I like Kentucky here just because I think the defense will keep ULM. We got an email saying they don't want to be called Louisiana Monroe, that we have to call them ULM. Very weird email to get.
And why do I have to listen to them?
Yeah, it was really included in our notes this week to make sure we say ULM per their request.
Wait a minute, what? They actually sent that to the media?
Yeah. So I don't know this Louisiana Monroe you're talking about. I'm going to be really respectful. But I don't see them scoring. And then when Kentucky calls the dogs off, I think their third and fourth running backs are going to be playing just as hard. And even though Kentucky's trying to run the clock and get out of there, they're still going to be punching it in. So I think Kentucky covers. But I like first quarter 7.5 better than whatever you're getting in the 30s right now. I see.
The only problem with first quarter 7.5 is that Stoops never gets the ball first, ever, because he both defers and usually the other team wants to try to score on us immediately. So that's the only problem. But I like that too. Jay, what about you?
Well, if you listened last year, you know that I won't pick this. So go Cats, but I'm not picking this game.
I recall you being on it last year. I thought we all agreed that we didn't pick it, but we still say it as part of the entertaining part of the story.
We did not agree to that.
Okay. Hey, what do you all think, by the way, of having a occasional OVW wrestler pick of the week where I bring one of the wrestlers on to make one pick at some point during the show?
Sounds great. They probably know more than we do. They probably know Bowling Green isn't good.
Jay, you good with that?
I am totally good with it.
Because I have Mr. Pectacular here next week, and I feel like we need to get it. It will be Pectacular if we have him. So go ahead. What's next?
Well, I got to say, as you're doing the show from your couch right now at home, and you said I have Mr. Pectacular here, before you said next week, I thought he was just sitting next to you on the couch.
Two of us are just hanging out. me and Jesse Goddard's. I will say this. If you don't follow Mr. Pectacular on Twitter, none of you probably do. Drew, do you follow him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Hey, do you follow him?
I don't, but I will after this.
I'm just going to say, I highly recommend it. There is not a nicer person. I really like Jesse a lot. No human being in the history of mankind has ever tweeted more self-promotion than Jesse. Now, I like it because it's usually about OVW. But, I mean, Drew, and it's all in all caps. My man has a permanent caps lock on his tweets.
I told you right after I started following him, whatever he gets paid is not enough because he's constantly promoting whatever you're airing next. He's promoting other wrestlers. He promotes KSR, the radio show, the football podcast, like whatever comes across his way, he's promoting it.
Did a Pin It Deep tweet the other day. The other thing is next to OVW and KSR, he also promotes 98 Degrees a lot because his friend is one of the guys in 98 Degrees. So he does promote a lot of 98 Degrees sessions as well. But all right, Jay, what's next?
It's the old Southwest Conference rivals. Rice is at Arkansas. Phil has five of his nine power rankings. He says that Rice will make a bowl this year. And man, Arkansas has got it tough. 2 years in a row, hardest schedule in the country. Right now, Arkansas is favored by 19 and a half.
Well, longtime listeners of this know my ex-girlfriend went to Rice. And every time they come up, I inevitably pick against them. I feel like this is a big year for Arkansas. Now, they do seem to lose the first game a lot over the years, but I don't think they'll lose this one. I'll take the Hogs to cover.
I looked up our old buddy Odd Shark on this one, and Odd Shark has Rice winning 25.4 to 24.2. Now, I don't know what any of that means.
Wow.
But the computer metric has Rice winning. But I still thought, even though, like you said, Arkansas tends to lose the first game, they were kind of a surprise 3-3 last year to start the year when most people had them winning zero games. They fell off, and I don't even think they won again. But they at least, you know, got off to a better start on that tough SEC schedule. So I'll take Arkansas here, too. But I do think Rice is
– going against the Shark, huh?
I do think Rice is better than you think just seeing that name on paper.
Yes. All right.
I'm going to take Rice. I think Arkansas wins, but I think it's a lot of points for that game.
All right. Well, that was very scientific of you as opposed to Drew actually had info. I just said my ex-girlfriend went there. So I guess you had more than me. What's next?
We've got Alabama versus Miami of Florida. This spread started at 17. It's up to Alabama by 20.
Alabama always covers the first game. I mean, they've covered the first game like 35 straight years, but I actually don't think this Alabama team is as good as the rest. They'll still probably win it all, but I don't think they're as good as the last few. So because of that, I say Miami covers this game. I don't think they win, but I think they cover. Plus, Max Duffy's going to be there rooting for his punter. That's going to make a difference. So I'm going to say, if you're giving me 20, I'll take Miami to cover the 20, Drew.
Yeah, and I'm even going to wait. I think as people just try to jump on board, seeing the Alabama name, you might get above 21 on this one. It's still a long way to go, but I think it might happen. And I like Miami, too. You got Derek King, who's making like $10 million on endorsement deals down there. I think they have either 19 or 20 starters back, and Alabama's got a new quarterback and new pieces around him. So Alabama will win. I think it's 14 in a row under Saban by double digits, but I don't know if they'll cover 20 or more.
Yeah, you know, last year they actually didn't cover in their first game. They played Missouri in their first game. And I looked this up. In the last 2 years, they've only covered one of their first three games. I think Derek King's the real deal. I mean, you remember he tore his ACL in the Cheez-It Bowl, which was really unfortunate. But I'm gonna go with you here. I'm gonna take Miami. That's a lot of points. And I think Saban doesn't tend to run it up until the end of the year.
How many teams has Derek King played for? I feel he's a dude that I feel like spending – I think he was at Houston, and then he was at Oklahoma, and now he's at Miami. Like, I feel like that's a dude who's on the long-term plan of college football, and all of them, like, sort of prominent schools. So, shout-out to Derek King. Who's next?
Next, we have Central Michigan at Missouri.
Why are you laughing?
You do the who's next like you're going to the phone lines.
Oh, fair enough.
Got a little morning radio to it.
Okay, all right, sorry. Central Michigan, Missouri.
Missouri's a 13.5 point favorite right now. It started off at 11.5.
Yeah, I hate picking these big favorites in week one, but I think I'm going to do it again. You know, Tony Barbie has just not done a lot with that program so far. And Eli Drinkwitz, which I think that's his name, is a pretty good coach. And Missouri, you know, this is the time of year where the kids actually come to the games. They sit on that hill and they get into it. So give me Missouri, or as my grandfather would say, Missouri, to cover and beat Central Michigan.
I couldn't have been more wrong on Missouri last year. I thought they were going to be terrible and they ended up having a good year. I just didn't think Drinkwitz would be that good of a coach, but obviously he is. So I will also take Missouri here while confessing I can't tell you anything about Central Michigan.
They're the Chippewas.
Well, okay, I know that, and Max Shannon and all that stuff, but their current team, I can't tell you much about them.
What did you say? Max Shannon? Who's that?
Maction, the Mac.
Oh, Maction, yeah. I don't really know anything about Central. I mean, I feel like I've watched a lot of Central Michigan because I feel like they play on Wednesday nights a lot, and I end up having the game on, and Rod Gilmore is yelling at me, but I'm not sure that I know anything about them. Jay?
So Central Michigan and Toledo are expected to compete for the MAC championship. So I think Central Michigan is going to be decent. You know, it still stings a little, but, you know, Missouri was 5-5 last year. And if you remember, they got their bowl game canceled. They were supposed to be in the Music City Bowl, and that got canceled. And on paper, to me, Missouri doesn't look as good as I thought that. You know, I thought, looking back, they had a really good season. If we could have beaten them and Ole Miss last year, and then it would have been a totally different deal. I'm going to go with Central Michigan here and take those 13.5 points.
You got to use an undo card. I'm going to use one. I'm flipping because I forgot Jim McElwain is Central Michigan's coach. I do know that about them. And I saw a lookalike last week. I feel like that was an omen. So I'm going to take Central Michigan.
All right. Well, you two weaklings, take your little Central Michigan if you want. I'm going to take SEC power, SEC pride. By the way, I don't think we realize enough that we went to the Gator Bowl last year and we're 4-6. That is one of the strangest things that's ever happened in football. I mean, first of all, losing teams don't go to begin with. And then when you're losing, you don't usually end up in a New Year's Day bowl, which is even stranger. So that'll go down as one of those that in like 35 years, whoever's doing my job will go, they made the Gator Bowl at 4-6. And you'll go, yep, they did, son. But what's next?
Next game we've got is Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State.
Blech.
Right now, Mississippi State is a 23.5 point favorite. Since from that coaches, who wants to guess who the Louisiana Tech coach is?
Sonny Dykes. I don't know.
Drew, you got this?
No, I don't have a clue.
Skip Holtz.
That was close. yeah. Boy, you talked about a game you couldn't pay me to watch. I have no idea. I mean, Louisiana Tech, I assume, is in the eye of the hurricane, which means they're glad to not be at home. But then they have to go to Starkville, which is a hurricane of itself. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll take Louisiana Tech to cover, but who cares?
I'm very confused because last year Mississippi State was not good and everyone on the team seemed to hate Coach Leach. I think he might get it figured out after having a year, but I really have no clue what to expect for that team. Being the first game, I'll go Louisiana.
I feel like people overlook. Didn't he have a noose situation down there at some point?
There was something like that. And no one there seemed to be more controversy off the field than they needed with everything going on in the world.
I feel like he got lucky that didn't make the news more, because I feel like you in 2021, you can't have noose situations. And I feel like he did.
Something that rings a bell there for sure.
I mean, I don't want to disparage him if he didn't. Why don't you fact check me on that? But I feel like something, Jay.
Seems to be a lot of fact checking tonight.
yeah, it was a tweet. It was like a meme that had it. It was not anything he specifically said or did, but he retweeted a meme.
Okay, gotcha. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
I feel like Leach kind of gets things turned around his second year and gets things the right direction. I actually looked up Louisiana Tech, and while Skip Holtz has been there, they don't have a good record of covering the spread against Power Five teams. So I'm actually going to take Mississippi State there.
I feel like you're arguing with me a lot today, Jay. Like, I feel like you're just being, you're just contrasting for the sake of contrasting. Just for the record, you're calling out the fact checking. I'm 2 for 2. There was a new situation, and Ralph is alive. So on both those things that we fact checked, they ended up being true, Jay. All right.
Whatever it takes. All right, next game. This is a terrible game. Akron at Auburn. I'll be honest, I don't like Auburn this year. They've got the second hardest schedule in the nation. But let's go back to, Matt, our favorite thing, Phil Steele's power ranking. Akron is 124, 130.
So what's the spread?
Auburn is a 37-point favorite.
Whoa! I can't give anybody 37. I mean, I don't care if Akron puts us out on the field. They're not going to lose by 37 to Auburn, whose coach is the Boise State something, right? Isn't he the
– Brian Harsin. Yes.
Yeah. So – I mean, Auburn's going to win, but they're going to win by 36. So give me Akron to cover.
It's definitely higher than it needs to be for me. But I just think Harsin has so much to prove, and he's going to be trying to cover that spread just to make a statement, because a lot of people didn't love that hire. They fired the last coach because they're trying to catch up with Alabama. Then you went and got a guy that wasn't even really up to Boise State standards. So I think he's going to be trying to really make a statement that game. I'll go Auburn, but I wouldn't put a penny on it of my real money.
Yeah, there's no way I would bet this game. I'm going to take Auburn, but I almost want to bet against Auburn the rest of the year. But I think kind of what Drew's saying, same thing as the Tennessee game I talked about, that new coach is going to feel a need to go out and cover the spread.
Some coaches like Stoops won't want to
a little halftime break. I want to play a game, which I'll probably forget next week, but we're going to play this week, which is, what are you watching on television? Where the three of us tell everyone what we're watching. If you've been listening to the first half of the podcast, you would realize one of the three of us is on national radio, and it's the one that knows nothing about these games. And the two people that do know are not, because they're too smart. But when it comes to television, I feel pretty good about my TV skills, but Drew is somebody that is sometimes ahead of me. So, Drew, I will ask you, what are you watching?
Trying to think. Right now, like as recent as last night, I was a little behind on Ted Lasso. So that's in the rotation. I had to play a little catch up. Then what's the Perfect Strangers on Hulu?
9 Perfect Strangers.
Yes. I'm definitely current on that one.
And I actually have not started the new season of Ted Lasso, which is weird because I was an early adopter of that show. I think I'm waiting for it, maybe not to be all out, but more, and just do a lot of it in a weekend. I've heard some backlash, a little bit of a backlash, of people saying it's not as good as the first season. Then I've heard other people say it's awesome. Where do you put it right now?
I think in the very beginning, episode 1 didn't really reel me in, but obviously I stuck with it. I think it's been very good.
Yeah, I feel that way about Dave, by the way. You and I lamented season 2 of Dave, and the first 3 episodes were horrible. The 3rd episode, I don't ever need to even think about again. But then I thought episodes 4 through 10 were really, really good.
I haven't seen the finale, but I'm right up through the finale.
I didn't love the episode 9 where he's like bald and in a room and like dancing or whatever. But I, in general, I think once you got past episode 3, it was pretty good. Jay, what are you watching?
Actually, I just finished a reality show called Alone, but I'm currently watching Ted Lasso.
I mean, a reality show called Alone? What is that?
So it's the only reality show I watch. They take you out remotely, and this episode, it was in Alaska, and you have to outlast everybody, and you are by yourself. You have to take like 10 things with you, and it's last man standing.
What do you mean outlast? Just live?
So there's like 10 people, and they tap out if they want, and then they come and get them and take them off their little wherever they are.
That feels to me like a show waiting to get sued, because It's there's that famous Clear Channel story with the pee, and you know, they always tell us that when you work at Clear Channel, now iHeart, you learn like the first day, don't ever do anything like the pee contest, where that thing where it was whoever could drink the most water and then not pee, and then someone died. It feels like a show, Jay, that would lead to something like that.
Hope not.
I just remembered I watched a great show, and I've been meaning to bring it up on the morning radio show. Small Town News on HBO Max.
Have you watched it?
Oh, I turned it on just, you know, something to go to sleep to, had no expectations, and had to watch all 6 episodes. It's awesome.
Is it real? Like, is that a real
show?
Like,
they follow a real news station, and the people that work there are just incredible. I think it'd be a good talking point for the morning show.
All right. Well, I may check out an episode too. So I've been watching 9 Perfect Strangers, which I don't particularly love, but I feel like I'm in, so I might as well watch it. I play a game, Drew, where I pick a movie. I have 9 streaming accounts, which is no one needs that. I don't know why I have 9, but I have 9 streaming services. So I do a random number generator on my computer, 1 through 9, and it'll pick a number. And so then I'm using that service, okay? And then I use the generator 1 through 26 to pick a letter of the alphabet. And then I go there and I have to pick a movie that is from that service and that letter of the alphabet. Now you all are laughing, but see, if I don't do this, I suffer from there being too many choices. I can't, especially with movies. TV shows I can handle. But with movies, I'm like, there are 1,000 movies. How are you supposed to decide which one to watch? This narrows it. Now, it makes you watch some things you may not like, but it also makes you see things you would have never seen. Like, I saw a documentary about frozen water, which I guess also goes by ice. And it was very interesting. I watched a movie last night called Driver X. I ended up seeing Do the Right Thing Again, which I would have never watched because I saw it 30 years ago and watched it again. It was like, hey, this was even better than I remember. So, Drew, I recommend to do the random number generator.
I'm going to have to try that because I bet I average an hour of scroll time before I pick anything. In fact, most of my fights with Abby over me not hurrying up and pick something, because I could sit there and scroll through every app 3 or 4 times and see every title before I make a decision. So I need some kind of boost like you have.
It works. Now, I don't recommend having 9. Like, my account to Stars streaming is probably not necessary for my happiness, Jay, but that's where we are.
Can I ask what streaming service is underrated?
Peacock.
I was going to say Paramount. I think Paramount Plus, the TV shows, although I hear this TV show that's called like Evil or something on there is really good. I have not seen it. But the thing about Paramount Plus, it has an amazing selection of movies. Like, Paramount Plus has 75 years worth of really good movies. And it also has Comedy Central and MTV stuff. So I would go Paramount Plus. Peacock is also good. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to shill. HBO Max is great. Netflix is great. Paramount and Peacock are good. Hulu's fine. Amazon is disappointing, but also has a lot of movies. So, you know, Showtime's good. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Paramount's a great sleeper pick. I bet recently I've been on there more than Netflix and some of the more popular ones.
Paramount's, that is definitely, Jay, I would say, the underrated one.
Okay. I like
Jay it. Jay's impressed. Like, we can talk about all this stuff, and then Jay just goes, uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I don't particularly love on Paramount. I watch Big Brother with Abby, but she likes to watch. On Paramount, you can just pop in and watch them at any time. Like, it's just the 24/7, you're just watching them live. That gets a little boring for me.
That used to be on Showtime, and I would fall asleep to it at night. I think it was on Showtime. I did that some, and I was like, who would watch this? And then I watch it, and I feel really ashamed of myself. So I didn't know that was on there, but yeah.
But that's, if you like the show, perfect. That's another good reason that's a good app.
That is a terrible waste of time. All right, Jay, what do we got? Who's next?
We have Willie Taggart taking Florida Atlantic into Florida. I feel like Willie Taggart has coached 27 teams as of recently, except Oregon, right? Florida is a 24.5-point favorite.
I like the Gators to cover. Willie Taggart is the worst coach on the planet. I don't know how he keeps getting jobs. He and Charlie Strong, after Charlie left Louisville, have struggled. I think I remember my first night at ESPN, I was up waiting on the post-game show for the UK game, and I watched Willie Taggart and Florida State lose to, like, Campbell or something like that. Do you remember that game? Who did they lose to? They lost to somebody just crazy random. All of that's to say, I'll take Florida to cover, Drew.
I think Florida's overrated. I don't really know what to – they got Emory Jones, who was a big recruit. It's finally his turn. But being week one, it might take a little bit. I'll take Florida Atlantic just to be different. I don't love it, but I'll take them. They won four or five games last year. They're not going to win this one, but I'll say they keep it within the 24.
I think and hope what Drew just said is true, that Florida might be overrated. They only bring back nine starters. One of their quarterbacks is Jalen Kitna, John Kitna's son. I'm gonna go with Matt here and take Florida to cover, but I'll be rooting against Florida most of the year.
John Kitna's son. We are getting old. This is how I know I'm old, or I'm getting old. I saw the Roxy, which of course is owned by our friend, partially, Johnny Bruce. I saw the Roxy's Instagram account, and they were showing, like, Drew, the club on a Saturday night of people just dancing and DJ Jeff Ruby up there. I think that's his name, you know, playing all the latest EDM hits. And the caption said something like, "Can you imagine a better place to be?" And in my mind watching, I went, anywhere on the planet. And I don't say that to be mean, because the Roxy's, I love Johnny, and I want there to be a million people there. But I was like, if you made me go stand and see DJ Jeff Ruby and the electric dance music, I could not do it. No offense to him, who I'm sure is an amazing DJ. But I just, that was when I was like, you know what? I've reached an age where what young people are doing, not only am I not doing it, it actively looks like hell to me.
So it's a combination of seeing that and John Kitna having a son that's in college football is what makes you feel old.
Well, I mean, John Kitna, I feel like he's still playing, isn't he? For
some, yeah, he's third string on the Bengals, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's still in the league. Maybe he's not. All right.
To that point, I had a real hard time. This is basketball, but Scottie Pippen Jr. and then Shaq's son really make me feel old.
Do you know DJ Jeff Ruby? I think people say to me, Matt, there's this electric dance music guy. He's blowing up in all over the country. He's from Lexington. His name's DJ Jeff Ruby. And they're like, he's awesome. He's hardcore. And he went to Sayre. And I always think that's a really funny sentence. It's like, dude, this dude's so hip. And he went to Sayre. So I'm like, oh, you mean he walked the mean streets of Sayre High School before he became DJ Jeff Ruby.
You keep saying DJ Jeff Ruby. That can't be his name.
It's something. Okay, it's DJ Jack Ruby. Well, actually, no way. He killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Who? It's somebody.
Or you've named the restaurateur and the assassin.
It is either. I'm telling you, his last name is Ruby. I'm going to look it up while Jay gives the next game. I want to give him his shout.
You sure it's not Machine Gun Kelly?
No, it's I think it's Jeff Ruby.
All right. Well, hey, the next game is the big game of the weekend. Georgia is playing Clemson. This game started off at Clemson -5. It's Clemson -3 right now. It seems like a golf match. JT versus DJ. What do we think here?
First of all, it's DJ Jake Doobie. Sorry. That's not quite the same as Jeff Ruby. It's Jake Doobie.
That made me laugh.
Did you think the rest?
That, Jay. Was it that I was wrong or that his name is Jeff Doobie?
Both. Equally both.
So did you think the restaurant's called Jay Doobie's and the DJ's Jeff Ruby's?
I'm going to call Jake Doobie's restaurant and go, can I have a party too for Saturday night? DJ Jake Doobie. I heard you say it was three. I assume, is it Clemson three?
Yes.
I like Georgia. I think Georgia wins. I think this is Kirby Smart's year to win the conference. If he doesn't, I think he deserves not criticism, but you know, maybe it's not going to happen for him, at least while Nick Saban's here. I think Clemson is still going to probably make the playoff, but they're not going to be as good. We've gotten spoiled by 3 years of Trevor Lawrence, who's probably one of the best college quarterbacks of all time. This new guy, whose name I do not know, DJ something, he is not going to be able to be as good, at least right off the top. So I'm going to I remember the game when Trevor Lawrence got hurt. Remember, he came in and struggled, and then he got hurt. And then the third string guy actually took him to a victory. So I'm going to take Georgia to win outright, Drew.
I'm really excited about this game. I think it's going to be very close. And I'll just take the 3 points and go with Georgia. I'm a little worried. People are acting like Georgia's like national contender good with JT Daniels, like they just were a couple years ago when they gave Alabama all they wanted. I don't think they're going to be that good, but I think they'll at least cover the points here against Clemson. And I think it's a coin flip who wins this. So I'm going to take any points I can get.
I'm going to go with you all too. I think I've read that Georgia's had some kind of unsteady stuff going on in their roster, but I think this is Georgia's year. So I'm going with Georgia.
Do you think we could get DJ Jake Doobie to make a pick for one of these shows, Drew? Do you have any connections with him?
No, but maybe he could make like a nice intro song or something.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'll tell you what. If anybody knows DJ Jake Doobie, and I bet somebody does, if you get him to make an intro song, I'll promote the heck out of him and his mean streets of Sayre High School as he rises up the DJ charts. So ask him if he'll do it. He probably's got some beats on his Sanyo, I don't know. Go ahead. I don't know what
on his Sanyo.
I don't know what you have beats on, but on his little spin table. Go ahead, turntable.
So next game is East Tennessee State at Vanderbilt. And Matt, the interesting thing is here, there is no line on this game.
What? Because no one cares? Is that what
East Tennessee State is terrible? I mean, I don't know.
Like they don't do lines unless both teams are 1A, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I have no idea. Vanderbilt wins, but probably by three.
Yeah, they didn't win a game last year, right? Of course not. It's the SEC year. So
when I was in high school, when people in Middlesboro wanted to really party, they would go to Johnson City to ETSU. And I never got to make the trip. My parents, Karen and Larry, never allowed me, but I always heard that ETSU was wild. Like just the parties were crazy. And I just thought, man, if I could ever get there, life would take a turn for me. And it never happened. So if you did get to go to the parties at ETSU, I hope they were as fun as I heard tale.
Jay. Is the winner of this game the best team in Tennessee?
That's good.
Memphis.
That's true. The winner gets Memphis for the best team in Tennessee.
That's right.
So the next game is Kent State at Texas A&M. You know, Kent State has been playing better. They haven't won the MAC since 1972. Their coach is Sean Lewis, who is an ex-Wisconsin quarterback. When he took over, they were 2-10, then they were 7-6. And last year, Matt, guess, 3-1.
3-1. What's the line?
Texas A&M by 29. But I want you all to remember something, and I thought of this. Do you remember last year Texas A&M played Vandy, and Texas A&M, it was 17-12. I mean, they were up against it to where they could have lost that game, and Texas A&M goes on to be 9-1 the rest of the year.
I really am fascinated by Jimbo Fisher's appearance, just all of it. His face, his hair plugs, his teeth. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on with that man, and I think – all of it separately, Drew, is weird, but it comes together to an appealing package, actually. He's got really white teeth. He's got really blatant hair plugs. He's got really fake tan, but it all works for the guy. And I think this is the year where it works for him the most. I think they have a shot. I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but I think they could. So I think in order to get going, he will not cover in this game. They'll win by 27. So I will take Kent State to cover barely.
I'm going to take Texas A&M. I think they really want to win the SEC West. Like you said, it's all about beating Bama. They have their top five receivers back, their running backs back. Kellen Mond's gone, but they have a quarterback they're confident with. I think they're a real contender, this team, and I think they'll cover in week one.
I really don't want to take this. I'm going to take Texas A&M, but I wouldn't bet this. I don't like that pick. It's just I don't know enough about Kent State.
Kent State last year in their magical 3-1 season, congrats on going 750. I think they gave up like 70 points in a game, but then they scored 60 in their three other games or something. They had a wild year. So I don't know really what's going to come out of their first game this year.
They're back to Kent State, right? They were Kent State, then they were Kent. And I think they're back to Kent State. So you should consider that when you make your bet. Jay, go ahead.
So the last SEC game of the weekend is actually on Monday. Our favorite team, the Louisville Cardinals, are playing Ole Miss. This spread started 7.5, and I actually saw today it's up to 10.5. I didn't know this until I researched. Malik Cunningham, the quarterback for Louisville, has the highest QB rating right now in the history of Louisville, beating Brohm, Bridgewater, Ragone, Redmond.
Really?
That's crazy. Ole Miss was 5-5 last year. That loss really hurt us when we lost them by a point. And they get lucky this year. They draw UT and Vandy from the East, but can their defense hold up?
Yeah, well, I love it at 7.5. 10.5 is a little tougher, but I like Ole Miss big here. I think Louisville's going to be terrible. Malik Cunningham is good, but I think they're going to be terrible. I don't think their fans care. I think Scott Satterfield is the dorkiest human being not named Tom Crean in college sports. I think when you started the preview, just so you know, and you're going to think I'm making this up. I'm not. From the time Jay started the preview till he ended it, Mr. Pectacular tweeted 3 times during those 45 seconds. I'm not even kidding you. 3 tweets popped up on my phone while you were talking. But be that as it may, I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover. I don't like it at 10.5, but I still don't like Louisville to win. I'm taking Ole Miss.
I'm with you. Nick Roush even texted me weeks ago, like, hey, you better get this 7.5 because it's going to go quick. And I just never got around to doing it. I'll still take the 10.5 because I think Lane Kiffin's offense will score at will and quickly. What's the total? Looks like, my goodness, 77 points. I don't know if I'll go the over there.
Wow, that's a lot.
Ole Miss is going to score a lot. I think Louisville will score too, but they won't be able to keep up. I'll take the 10.5.
Yeah, I just want to actively cheer against Louisville, so I'll definitely go with you guys and go with Ole Miss here.
It's a good way to win.
Lane Kiffin has changed his appearance multiple times in the last 2 years. He was really skinny and handsome. Then he got kind of crazy fat, like skinny fat, which is a weird look when your body's still kind of skinny, but then your face is fat and sort of weird. And then he got really skinny again. I think that says something, Drew. He's focused.
Yeah, and I've become a big fan. He's been so likable at Ole Miss. I mean, he'll just tweet whatever he wants to tweet. He talks trash. Their offense is fun. I didn't like him at all early in his career, especially when he was at Tennessee. But I've become a Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss fan a little bit.
Yeah. I have other things. I'll save it for future Ole Miss games. Let's do 3 more, Jay, and we'll call it a night.
All right, let's do Stanford at Kansas State. Kansas State has the 6th best schedule in the country. Stanford has the 11th best. I picked this game because Stanford has a good team, but they have a really hard schedule. They play all Power 5 teams. Their over-under win total is 4. I went with the over on this. Right now, Kansas State is a 3-point favorite.
I think I read that Stanford was really mad about this game because it starts at noon, which is like 9 a.m. for them. And, like, there's a rule that you can't do that, but Fox made them waive it because, oh, you got to play this game at noon. The world wants to get up and watch Stanford and Kansas State. But I think they're going to be sleepy. I mean, they've been up. They're studying. They're dorks. Kansas State, I've been there. I went to a frat party there when I was in college, and I really liked it because a midget cut in front of Tall and then kicked him in the shin, and I thought it was really, really funny. And since then, I've always liked Kansas State. So I'm going to, Drew, for that reason, take Kansas State.
I don't know a lot of football here. I know Stanford ended last year on a good note. I think they won maybe four out of five or something good. Beat my beloved UCLA Bruins, if I'm not mistaken. So just for that, I have no clue what returns from that team, but that's about all I know about Stanford. So I'll just assume they'll be pretty good again, and I'll take them here.
Bill Snyder's not the coach anymore, right?
It's Derek Mason. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Derek Mason. Is he, Jay? I feel like that's something you would know.
I don't know that. But no, he's not the coach. Bill Snyder's not the coach. Okay. I know that.
And Derek Mason. Well,
he was there a second time, wasn't he? And he always, we talked about, he always looked cold every time they showed him on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, that was our old school free money thing, is the Bill Snyder looks cold pick of the week. But yeah, I don't know who's the coach, but go ahead, Jay.
And Derek Mason update, he's Brian Harsin's coordinator down at Auburn.
Oh, that's great.
I know this. Stanford is stacked at running back. They go like six deep, and Matt Mayfield, Emmett Smith's son, plays for Stanford as a running back. I'm gonna go with Stanford here. I really like this game.
Stanford running backs and tight ends are one of those things that's like, why do they produce so many of those? But they do. It feels like they always have. I think they had a guy a couple of years ago that was like a Heisman contender.
Jordan Love.
McCaffrey. It was the other guy. What was his name?
Was it Jordan Love? Is that the right guy?
Jordan Love. I think you're right. All right. What's next?
We're going to go to the Big Ten. This is probably the best Big Ten game of the day. Indiana is going to be at Iowa. You know, last year Indiana was 6-2. They really didn't have a bad game. Their only losses were to Ohio State, and they lost to Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl. Iowa held teams to 16 points a game last year. Right now, Iowa is a 3.5-point favorite.
This is why I don't like the Big Ten, because Indiana's like, everybody's like, oh, Indiana's so good. Here come the Hoosiers, Hoosier Nation, and they got punked by Ole Miss, who was 5-5 in the SEC. Bring it on, Indiana. I wish we played them. The game is in Iowa, you said?
Yes.
That's a good spread, 3.5. I think it's a toss-up, so I'll take Indiana because it's a toss-up. They have a chance to win. That's the way I do three and a half things, is if I think the team that's the under can win, I'll just go ahead and pick them. So, Drew, I'll take Indiana.
I'm with you. I get a little bit of jealousy how Indiana gets to – they're top 25, and everybody's raving about them right now. I'm fully confident Kentucky would whoop them if they played on Saturday. But because they had a good year last year and they're in the Big Ten, everybody thinks they're hot stuff. They do have the quarterback back, Penix Jr. I guess for that reason, I'll take them to cover, because they had a pretty magical year and he was a pretty impressive breakout star.
Yeah, Drew, as a starter, Penix is 12-2. But I forget this. He's coming off his second ACL tear. The 3.5, that half point kills you there. I because of that half point, I'm going to go with Indiana and you guys as well.
All right, before we do our final one, it's time for the Jay and Lyndon Louisville Restaurant of the Week. I always look forward to these. I try to try them the week that Jay says it. So, Jay, who will get my business this week from you?
Well, I do want to say my restaurant flag is at half-mast. Vietnam Kitchen went out of business. I am wrecked over this. That was one of my recommendations from last year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with, and this place is actually in Lexington too. I've actually dined there a couple times the past couple weeks, but if you've been to Agave and Rye, I would recommend that.
I love Agave and Rye.
Agave and Rye is great. Those tacos, that's right down the street from me. What's funny is you can't get into the one in Louisville. Like the one in, how many of them are in Louisville? Just one on, the one on Bardstown, Jay, or is there another one?
I think there's another, but that's the one I've been to. Their chips weigh like 100 pounds.
you can't get into that one on Bardstown. Like, you can go at 3 p.m. and there are people waiting. It's the craziest thing. But the one in Lexington is easy to get into. Like, there's not that many people there, Drew. It's really strange. And the food's the same. It's great in both places.
Breaking news, they just opened a second one in Lexington by Rupp Arena downtown. It is going to kill it. I mean, that's going to be my downtown dining spot forever. And Jay's right. My one complaint about them is their chips are, I don't know how they make them so dense, but they are like you're doing dumbbell curls when you're eating them. But otherwise, I love that place.
Yeah, their tacos are amazing. So I'm all in on agave and rye. I forget it exists because it's so hard to get into in Louisville. Where in downtown did it open in Lexington?
The old Sawgood. They literally just opened this week or maybe last week.
Oh, I didn't realize. When did Sawgood go away?
They were a casualty of the pandemic, kind of when a lot of the restaurants were dropped.
Dude, that's unfortunate. Oh, well. All right. Nice pick, Jay. I think that was well done. I'd like to give a little shout out to a restaurant. I thought to myself, when Jay gives his pick, I'm going to add, and I went and I'd never got the name of it. It was the Caribbean place that Jay, what's the, you know, in Bardstown Road, like, I think it's actually technically still Bardstown Road. It goes off to the left and then the main highway stays the same. You know what I'm talking about? Right there in Beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the side road actually Bardstown Road, or is it, is that the Beautiful bypass? I never know which is which.
So the Bardstown Road is the one that goes right by, it almost looks like you're going into a little town. The bypass is the one that goes up.
Okay. This is on technically Bardstown Road. You'd have to, it's not on the bypass, and there's a Caribbean place. It's called like Caribbean place. And like, it's in a little shopping center. I want to give the guy a shout out. It's just a guy. He's got like 5 choices every day and he just stands there, and I've eaten there twice and it's amazing, but like, you wouldn't even know it's there. I'll try to get the name though, because I think that would help people go there if they knew what I was talking about. But it's on Bardstown, on that little thing that you're talking about, Jay. That little, it's like you're going into a town. You're exactly right. And if you're coming from the Watterson, it's on the right. And that's the best I got for you.
So, Matt, I'm going to let Drew pick our last game. So I'm going to give you 3 games. Drew, you just tell me which one we want to pick. Do you want to do Notre Dame, Florida State, BYU, Arizona, North Carolina, Virginia Tech?
Ooh, I'm really excited about the Notre Dame game, but I'll go North Carolina, Virginia Tech, because I have strong thoughts about that one.
If you had said BYU, Arizona, go ahead.
So North Carolina is at Virginia Tech. This game is North Carolina favored by 5.5. If you remember, Sam Howell, who's the quarterback for North Carolina, had 30 TDs last year, but he loses like all of his wide receivers. Virginia Tech played a solid game against them last year, had a decent year. What do you guys think here?
First of all, I was going to actually use the example of Tim Couch, his senior year of high school at Leslie County. His junior year at Leslie County, he lit it up and they won a ton of games. Then all of his receivers graduated, including his brother, and his senior year, they actually sucked. They opened the year at Hopkinsville and lost 63-0 in Tim Couch's senior year. I think this is what's going to happen for North Carolina. Everybody's got them being great, but you're right. Tom, whatever the hell that guy's name is, the quarterback. Hal? Is that his name?
Sam Howell.
He lost his receivers. He's going to be a first-round pick, but you know who else was a first-round pick from North Carolina? Mitch Trubisky, and we know how that turned out. Virginia Tech's got the best home atmosphere. It's a Friday night game. They're going to be liquored up in Blacksburg, where I've also been with Drew, and we rode the Purple People Eater bus and nearly lost hubby to a band of gypsies, which was a really strange situation that we'll talk about some other day. But I'm taking Virginia Tech to cover.
I'm not a big believer in North Carolina on the national championship level. Like, some people have them in that conversation if they can, you know, beat Clemson on down the road. But I think with Sam Howell being in the Heisman talk, he's really going to try to impress, because every game you got to put up huge numbers, stay in that conversation. And I think more importantly, Virginia Tech is dead. They have not been the same since Lynn Bowden. hit that guy in the jaw, and Bud Foster left. They're 5-7 since that guy took a punch from Lynn Bowden. I think there'll be a coaching change there in the future. I think they're just – that program's done until some drastic changes.
Man, that's strong. You know, I thought you were going to go with me. So, and that was your pick of three. No Justin Flint love from you. What about you, Jay?
We joke about the Bud Foster retirement being mentioned every minute in that bowl game, but their defense was horrible last year without him.
You know, Matt, you've kind of changed my mind on this one. I'm actually going to go with you and go with Virginia Tech.
That Tim Couch analogy brought you
it was
in.
Good. That was good. I like that.
Remember that Leslie County Hopkinsville game? That's what this is going to be like.
Matt, should we get the listeners as a bonus pick to pick the winner of Ridgemont High -3 against Bishop Sycamore? Should they put
well, supposed to be Bishop Sycamore Johnson Central, and they canceled on them today. Johnson Central said we're out. We're not playing your fake school, and they fired the coach too at Bishop Sycamore.
How can you fire a coach when there's not a school?
It's a good question. Decision. It's probably the executive director of executive producer of Jeopardy. I love that story so much. It's my favorite story in a long time, Drew. I love that you just get a bunch of dudes and go, we're a high school, and rather than just try to pull off a scam, let's play the number one team in the country. Like, that's quite a statement.
Really, their whole schedule, they're playing like top 20 teams every week. The two games in 3 days is going to get somebody hurt. And there's clips of just rotating, it's your turn to wear the helmet. One guy runs off the field, takes the helmet off, and he looks 35. It's been unbelievable. I can't get enough reading about it.
Did you see the video of their quarterback last year who was, like, huge? I love that dude.
I remember that clip going viral before anybody knew what Bishop Sycamore was. That clip kind of made a lot of traction online.
Yeah, well, listen, this weekend – KS Bar, we got a big day coming Saturday. For purposes, I mean, you hear me advertising on the show, the OVW show and the signing and all that. But at night after the signing, Drew, is going to be Clemson, Georgia on the big screen. I actually think it probably won't be crowded in there, but it'd be a great place to watch the game. I actually think if you're not, if you're people phobic, I actually think going at night for Georgia Clemson might be the thing to do.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll have to work quite a bit after the game, being UK's first game in a long time. But I'm going to hang around and watch that game there. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so, Drew, I think I'm going to, too. I'm just going to spend all day there, probably carrying Shannon home since he's planning on drinking, then wrestling, and then drinking again, which is quite a thing. Jay, thanks for doing starting another season with us.
Have a good weekend betting, fellas. Have a good weekend betting.
You always bring professionalism. This has been the Free Money Podcast. Hug your kids and tip your waiters and waitresses. See you later.
Go Cats.